Well, I desire an interest in your prayers this evening. The little phrases I put on the board are in spite of or because of. I believe that these can be taken many different directions, and this evening I'm probably just going to try to introduce this thought line and maybe develop it more as the Lord leads us at another time. I was thinking about in spite of. I'd like to turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Most all of us know this chapter in the Bible as, my Bible says in the margin, the roll call of the heroes of faith. And it goes through a list of a lot of people that we are acquainted with through the Old Testament. It starts out with Abel being the first one that's labeled as one of the heroes of faith. Abel, then Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and from Abraham it goes to Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, and it just keeps on naming them down till we get down the 32nd verse. We'll start reading. It says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." That phrase, "received not the promise," what's he talking about there? Pardon? They lived at a time before Christ came. They did not have the advantage of being born again. They did not have the opportunity of being with Christ in the flesh, nor did they have the opportunity of having the Spirit of God live within them like we can be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost today. In spite of all that they met up with, they were faithful. And they obtained, the scripture says here, they obtained a good report through faith. Amazing, isn't it? It is to me. I'm overwhelmed to think of all these people in the situations that's described and depicted for us in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, was all people that were successful in their walk of integrity with the Lord. Did they make mistakes? Oh yeah, they made mistakes. David was listed in there. He's one that that the prophet came to him and said, "You're the man." And he had made a grievous error. But through it all, they were able to make reconciliation. And not only were they able, God made a provision for them where they could be able to have fellowship with the Lord through sacrifice and all of that, but they wanted it. They wanted it in spite of them never receiving the promise of the Messiah, in spite of it all. 40th verse, last verse of this chapter said, "God having provided some better thing for us, that they might without us, that they without us should not be made perfect." God has provided something better for us. Because, I think of the song that says, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, I can rise above. Because Jesus came, I have an opportunity to be reconciled with the Father." But we could read the whole chapter here, and some of the instances have gone in a little more in depth, but we have a vast number of those that I believe we'll be able to see over there in heaven. And they got there in spite of the fact that the Messiah had not come. Last weekend, I was not able to be here. And part of our technical training includes a conference speaker. And the conference speaker told some of his life story. And I don't know what they paid him to come and talk, but I'm guessing they paid him something. Most generally, those kind of people come with a price tag. But he told some of his story. And his story was about him growing up with his parents and his dad playing catch with him in the driveway, even after dark, shining the headlights of the car up against the house and then playing catch, and showed a picture of the house he grew up in. That I would consider it a nice house. He said it was my mom's dream home. And when he was about 13 years old, his father murdered his mother. And did it in a very gruesome manner. He gave us a few of the details, not a lot, but a few. He talked about his journey through that. How that somehow through it all, in college he got I guess you might say drafted. I don't know how that is to play. He played in the NFL, professional football, about 12 years. He got traded to another team, and when they was doing his physical, that's quite a journey, isn't it? To go from a environment where a father killed your mother, and you can imagine all the displacement. And he grew up in his aunt adopted him. And I don't remember. He told us some things. And he got all the way up and he's playing in the NFL. And played for several years. Got traded to another team. And going through his physical, and they called him up. Said, "You need to be sitting down." Said, "Your football playing days is over." Said, "Your We'll be there in just a few minutes to rush you in to open emergency open heart surgery. You've got a aorta that feeding your heart that's about to burst in your chest. So he had open heart surgery, and his hopes and dreams of making millions playing football ended that day on a roller coaster. And through it all, he got married and had a little girl. She showed us a little video, a clip of her playing with her daddy. And he said it came a point that he had, for his own best interest, he had to find his father and forgive his father so he could be a better man. And I looked at that, listened to this man talk, never got to speak to him one-on-one. And I thought, you know, in spite of all of the ups and downs of his life, he wants to be a better father. In spite of all of the, I can't imagine the yo-yo of his life experience, his emotions going up and down and back and forth. But in spite of all of that, he wanted to rise above. You know, there's people that if they were had one of the reverses he had faced, they would have turned to something that would have destroyed their life, to drugs, to alcohol, to vices of some sort. There's many out there that never recover from those kind of things. But in spite of that, he rose above it. In spite of the fact of the folks that we read about in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, they rose above their obstacles. And they rose above the handicap of not having a Savior that died on the cross for them. And they wanted to be pleasing to God bad enough that I believe we're going to meet him over there. I believe that Abel will be there. I believe Enoch will be there. I believe that David will be there. I believe that Gideon will be there. And Moses. You know, Moses made some pretty bad mistakes too. But in spite of all of that, all of their ups and downs in life, I believe they're going to be there. You know, I want those around me to make it. There's a better plan. And the better plan is over here in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Paul writing to Timothy, older man writing to a younger man, says in verse 1, first chapter, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So he's writing to Timothy, and Timothy appears to be a third generation Christian. A third generation Christian in our society today. You know, I really appreciate my ancestry, but I'm a third generation. my grandmother on my father's side and both of my grandparents on my mother's side came to embrace truth and really got saved. And they, I'm sure, gained a lot of ground in their lives. And they passed it on to my father and my mother. And they were second generation saints, if you will. My mother remembers when her dad quit his tobacco and quit using language that he didn't want his little boys to learn. And my father experienced some of those same things also in different categories. And I was able, because my parents, because, not in spite, but because my parents got a foundation laid for them, I was raised in a home where if my father ever experimented with alcohol or tobacco, it was a long time before he became an adult or became a married man. My mother told stories of visiting her grandmother that would dip snuff and all those kind of things, but my mother never did that. I don't have any memory of my mother using bad language, dipping snuff, although she came from a a hillbilly background, that would have been acceptable. So I was given something to build on. I was in a Timothy-type position. And because my parents, not in spite, but because my parents were faithful, I had a good foundation to build on, and I had a good, stable thing to add to, and I really appreciate that. And I don't want to ever step away from that. I want to be true to that. And I look out here tonight and I see some of y'all are fourth generation. I want you to be faithful because, not in spite, but because. It's a beautiful plan that God intends to be a foundation for another generation to build on, because you had an example laid before you. I'd like to read just a little bit over here in Deuteronomy, back before the Messiah came. Moses gave them instructions. And then it was Joshua. And I'll read here in the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. Beginning maybe in the third verse, sixth chapter. He says, "Hear therefore, O Israel." I could say, "Hear, O church, congregation." "And observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." That's why it's so important to have family worship with your children. Teach them diligently. That's what the scripture tells us. Give them something that, because of the example you set before them, they'll have a foundation to build on. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates. So let your life exude the principles that God instructs in the scripture. Don't let your life be a haphazard thing that if your children get a hold of the Lord, it's in spite of it. Make it be because you gave them some good foundational principles to build on. Humanity and technology even has had so many setbacks down through the years because people were too hard-headed to learn from the generation before. And I want to just leave the thought this evening with you realizing that the scriptural design is for you to set a pattern where the next generation can follow the Lord because you followed the Lord. I don't want to give a example that somebody has to overcome and get close to the Lord in spite of inconsistencies, in spite of failures, in spite of disappointment, in spite of anything like that. I want people to succeed in their walk of life because they saw someone else that successfully followed the right steps. I hope that rings in your heart tonight. And as I said, this is probably going to be a foundational point that we'll take maybe individually. Because we did the right thing. I worked with people that said things like, I'm not worthless because at least I can be used for a bad example. Well, I don't want that to be said of me. I want others to be able to say, because he was successful, I can be successful. Instead of scrambling and trying to find a way to be pleasing to God in spite of the failures of a past generation, I want to give the next generation a leg up and say, if you can build on this, you can really get somewheres. If you can build on what I've already got, then you can take it to another level, another dimension. That's what we all hope for. At least I do. In my occupation, in my life's work, and the things that I've been able to come to a place of understanding on, I want to be able to hand it off to another generation and say, here's something you can build on, instead of you having to dig through a pile of rubble and find something solid to start with. I want to give them something solid, temporally and spiritually. I want the next generation to be able to take a life that has been set before them and say, I know this works because I saw it lived out. And I know that I can build on this and be successful. I'm thankful for those that have been the first generation, the second generation. Some of you may be fifth or sixth generation. I just want you to know how valuable it is to have those that's in the past in your life that you can say because they were faithful, because they had a grip on Scripture, on the principles, on good, sound doctrine, then I can build on that and be in a better position to face the advancements of the enemy. May the Lord help us. I desire your prayers that I will keep going in the direction that'll provide that stability for another generation. I just want us to take this home with us tonight and think about it. Is the ones coming behind me, you know, there's a song, I believe, that says something about those coming behind us find us faithful, I believe. Will they find us faithful? Or will they come along and begin to sift through the evidence of our lives and be in a whirlwind and wonder how do I make sense of all of this? How do I try to put some pieces together? Where do I find something solid to build on? I want it to be different than that. I don't want a successful generation in the future to do it in spite of it, of me. I want them to be able to do it because they've had a faithful generation that's went before them. You pray for me.